Chapter 56. Extract from Make Sure You Get This Down Correctly for Once in Your Life, Jocasta. The Authorized Biography of Professor Wotan Oom by Constance Melanier. Valhalla, Transworld Harper, 2061. Reproduced with permission. Towards the end of his life, Oom continued to speculate constructively, if controversially, on the nature of the Long Earth and its access by humans through the process known as stepping. Of course, he could be somewhat dismissive of unfounded theorizing, as is demonstrated by this verbatim transcript from a conversation with the author very late in Oom's life. "All this nonsense people spout about the Long Earth, as they've spouted since I was in short pants, and they've got not a jot further. Ere we hear all about uncurled dimensions in a higher plane, or we're told there are 10^500 and whatnot possible universes out there in the multiverse, as predicted by string theory, or there are M-brains and P-brains bouncing off each other like puppies in a sack. What nonsense, all of it. Stepping is human, and it is in our humanity that we will find its explanation. It seems clear to me from a number of my studies, particularly concerning brain damage cases, that stepping, at least what has become known as the classic Lindsay step process, has a strong overlap with seeing. And by seeing, I don't mean the simple physical mechanism of the eye, or even the transcription of visual signals into messages in the cortex. I mean the deep inner conscious sensation of seeing, of gathering information from a scene, and from there it is a short conceptual distance between the faculty of seeing and the faculty of imagining. Mixed up in all that is our ability to step. The case of Bettany Diamond, reference Man 2029, makes this clear. Here was a woman who could not step, physically, and yet she was capable of seeing into the neighbouring worlds. She saw her children playing in a garden, in the stepwise footprint of her living room, yet she could not touch them. Stepping, then, is related to seeing, to imagining, and the greater the faculty of imagination, the greater the ability to step. But that can't be all there is, can it? What else, then, Jocasta? If you only had the wit, you would be asking that very question, and the answer may surprise you. The other faculty you need to be able to step, I propose, is that you must be able to convince yourself you are uncertain. Think of the famous quantum cat in the box, threatened with poison by the disintegration or not of an unstable atomic nucleus. Is it alive or dead? Those are two possible quantum states, and quantum uncertainty ensures that we cannot know which is real until we open the box to see, and one of those potential states is actualized. Very well. Now, consider yourself, Jocasta. At any instant, your location is described by many quantum states. One has you here in this room with me, another has you on the moon, another has you down the corridor making me a better cup of tea than the last dose of tar you inflicted on me. Still another has you on Earth West 2, a step away from the here and now, and so on. Some of these places are far more probable locations for you to be in than others. You are certain you are here, are you not? Ah, but just suppose, if only you had the wit, that you could imagine that you are uncertain where you are. For if you are uncertain in a quantum physical sense, your location becomes uncertain too. You are the prime quantum observer of yourself, after all. You become smeared, so to speak, across the adjacent possible, among the infinite number of possible locations where you may possibly be. Then, if you subsequently become certain that you are actually in West 2 and not here with me in West 1, then that's where you are. Do you see? You have collapsed the quantum functions once more. You have stepped. Imagination and a kind of willful uncertainty. That's all there is to stepping, Jocasta. And the finer the mind, the greater the ability to step. We have seen this with natural talents who find soft places, apparent flaws in the connectivity of the long earth, which can carry them thousands of worlds away. Perhaps the even stranger flaw that was discovered at New Springfield was evidence of another kind of mind, a mind capable of stepping into another long world entirely. I say finer minds, by the way. I think we Homo sapiens should always remember that the minds that created the long earth were not our own. It was our cousins, the trolls, and other humanoids who went out a million years before us and dreamed the long earth into existence as they went, step by step, not us. And as to why such long worlds should exist at all, consider this. Starting with rocks flying around an infant solar system, it seems to be very hard to make one world capable of producing a mind. In the solar system, it took billions of years to produce a fecund Earth. But having made one such world, if you could just run off copies, like pages off a printing press. But it is a cooperative process. Sapience conjured the long Earth into existence. Maybe the long earth itself, having nurtured sapience, is now using that sapience to dream its way to infinity. What kind of stepping would an arbitrarily powerful intellect be capable of? Even I can scarcely speculate. Certainly I won't live to see it. Perhaps you will, my dear. Perhaps you will. But now I'm tired. So very tired. Turn the lights out when you leave, would you, Jocasta?